T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Radio.com Sports Station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are 50 days away. 50 days away from the start of the NFL season. Remember, it's Bears-Packers, Thursday night football. 50 days away, Freems. It seems a lot longer than that for some reason. We haven't even started training camp.
Yeah, 50 days. When you say 50 days, that seems, man, I feel like it's going to be cold by then.
50 days away was like 50 days prior to today was about Memorial Day.
Oh, don't remind me of Memorial Day weekend. The Memorial Day weekend massacre. Yeah, that's when better known as the Bucs losing game 6, blowing a 15-point lead.
Yeah.
One of the toughest losses.
Giving
in our
up
state.
A 23-2 run.
Oh, that Saturday night of Memorial Day weekend.
What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us?
Because we like the doom. We like to torture ourselves.
I just
we don't have enough good things to talk about.
I just brought up something positive 50 days away from the start of the NFL season, 50 mm-hmm. days away from the Green Bay Packers, and within moments, we're commiserating about something else.
Well, we'll be commiserating more about that, along the lines of that, something bad, in about an hour.
Yeah, the moment that I think changed a lot of Packer fans' life. It came up again for me this week, and I wanted to bounce it off you guys. So we'll do that in about an hour if you're over it yet. Something that happened with the Packers in the recent history, if you're over that yet.
It's like a bad breakup.
Yeah, that'll come up around 7 o'clock. Plenty of Brewers this morning as well as, Chuck, I listened to some of these other shows on the station, and I just laughed. They're talking about the Brewers being sellers. They're out there scoring 13 runs last night.
Yeah.
With a lockdown performance from their starting pitcher. Who needs to be sellers?
I guess they were overdue for a bust-out game, like yesterday. I mean, they did. They hit 3 home runs. Christian Yelich hit that grand slam, as I mentioned here in the update. And Woody was great. Pitched into the 7th inning. 5 hits, 1 run. And so defense was pretty good last night behind him. Put it all together, and they got a win last night. Stayed 2.5 behind the Cubs. Moved back into 2nd place. Thank God, ahead of those pesky Cardinals who lost last night. But yeah, I mean, at least for one night, they look like buyers in a 13-1 win.
Well, it was cathartic too. I mean, it was nice to see your favorite team score a bunch of runs. Christian Yelich with home run number 33 of the season, ends up also being the Brewers' first Grand Slam of the year. Lorenzo Cain with a home run last night. That was big for him. That's only 6 for him on the season. I stacked up on Lil Cain in some fantasy leagues this year. I was thinking more than 6 home runs at this point. I know he's not going to bash 40, but I was thinking more than 6, you know, here in the middle of July.
And how about everybody's favorite Brewer, Keston Hira? 31 games he's played with the Brewers. He's got 9 homers already. Yeah, I'd say he's here. I'd say he's here to stay. Keston Hira, another home run last night going oppo. And, 9 home runs in 31 games. That's a pretty good start of a career.
Well, you could have said he was here back in May before they sent him down for budget reasons or Travis Shaw feeling reasons.
Yeah. You know, the Brewers got an interesting decision there, because Travis Shaw is hitting pretty well at AAA San Antonio. Okay, I mean, if he continues to hit well, you wonder, okay, are they going to bring him up? They're going to have to bring him up. But here's the next question. Where do you play if Travis Shaw continues to bash down at San Antonio? And the Brewers have said, If he turns this thing around, he's back up here with us. But Shaw's turning it around. He's hitting well. Seems to develop, and this is something they should have did a long time ago, kept him down there for an extended period of time. If he has indeed found a stroke, okay, and that's the guy who they say needs to be on the parent team if he is hitting well, where do you, I mean, who would you send? I mean, you could not send Kira down. And then if Shaw, if you put him on this roster, where is he going to play? And at the expense of who? That's a big question.
Well, you brought in Mike Moustakas as a second baseman. Can he possibly play shortstop?
Well, he did back in his high school days, but no. Now he's out of shortstop.
And with all the shifting these days, I mean, what is a position anyway?
Yeah, not for shortstop, though. Not for the shortstop position. I mean, he's blocked. Travis Shaw is kind of blocked from coming up. He's not platooning with Moose over at third base. He's not doing that. He's not taking Hira's spot at second base. All right, they're not going to add another first base. And then if you brought him up, who would get sent down?
Well, Saladino would be the one that gets sent down.
No, but I don't think so. I don't think so, because then who's your backup shortstop?
I already said that, Moose.
Oh, no, they're not going to do that. No, I mean, with Saladino, even though he's terrible, you know, he's just awful, he's technically your backup shortstop now.
Okay, how about first base?
But then who do you send down?
Yeah, Thames and Aguilar are both playing well.
Yeah, I'm saying, who do you send down? So there's no room. Shaw could keep bashing, unless somebody gets hurt. He's roadblocked right now from coming back. He can't come back. There's no room for him, Bart.
Maybe you trade one of these guys.
Well, okay.
Maybe you trade Moose.
Well, it doesn't sound like it. I don't think they're... No, if they're in the race, you're not trading your all-star third baseman.
Maybe you trade Moose for starting pitching. Maybe it's a you can still be buyers and trade Moose. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to trade him. If they're going to be buyers... They're not a guy who's having a great season like he is. They're not going to trade one of their hot bats in the middle of the order.
Mike Moustakas and, let's say, a minor leaguer for Marcus Stroman.
I mean, that's, you'd probably need more than that. I mean, the Toronto Blue Jays aren't looking for an expiring contract.
Yeah, they would have no incentive to do
that.
They're
not looking for him. Yeah. No, the Toronto's in rebuild mode. It does them no good to take on Moustakas for a half a season. But I would say, you know, Shaw's there until somebody gets hurt. No room. Yeah. What would happen now if all of a sudden the Brewers say, hey, you know what? Shaw's coming up. He's hitting so well. Down goes Keston Hira. Shaw, there was outrage before. Yeah, no. Hira's here.
Well, that would be the dumbest thing they would ever have done.
Would be without a doubt.
In their career.
Yeah.
I mean, it was already dumb the first time around, and some would argue it's what ruined team chemistry back in May.
No, I wouldn't go that far. But now it'd be like, what? Why would you be setting him down? But
all right, where else could Shaw play? Could he catch?
No. There's no way. I mean, he can't play second. I mean, he's not going to play second with here.
Should we look in the outfield?
But again, the problem would be who gets sent down. Who would you send down if you brought up Shaw? There's no room. You can't send down a pitcher. Can't send down anybody from your bullpen. You need all those guys.
Can we cut Hernan Perez? Oh, we already did that.
No, I mean, he's down in the minors. Yeah, Shaw's down there, and he's better enjoy the South for a little bit until there's a necessary... injury or something that where he's got to come up, but you know, I mean, he's not going to come here. He's lost his position from now on.
So you're saying if Shaw is in San Antonio staying at a hotel, he should get an extended stay.
Yes.
If he's at an extended stay, he might want to look at an apartment. If he's already moved into an apartment, he might want to buy some property.
Possibly.
Is what you're saying.
Well, but you know, these things can change around in a heartbeat with one little hamstring injury. Hopefully not, but. Yeah, just thought about that yesterday as I was driving home. I was like, man, Shaw, you know, the numbers are pretty good down there. So he's no room for a guy like Travis Shaw on a team that's two games over the 500 mark.
Well, here's where the Brewers are in the NL Central after last night's activities. The Cubs do win in extra innings, so they stay 2.5 up on the Brewers, 51-44. Brewers are in second place in the NL Central, 2.5 back. Cardinals are 3 back of the Cubs, and then the Pirates 5.5 back, Reds 6.5 back. Now, in the wild card standings, you have the Washington Nationals and the Philadelphia Phillies, both with the two wild card spots, both of them winning. The Brewers are 49-47, as we mentioned, a half game back still of the second wild card, 2.5 back of the first. So there, I mean, you're right in it. Cardinals then trail the Diamondbacks, the Rockies. And can we talk about the Giants today or no? Four-game win streak?
Somebody joked in the press box last night about the Giants winning again last night.
It's not a joke.
Yeah, well. There were plenty of chuckles when that someone mentioned that.
Why?
They have a long climb to go, and they're really all not that good of a team. I mean, they're on a nice roll right now.
Was I being made fun of during this exchange, or was this just a natural exchange?
No, this was Atlanta people talking.
They're making fun of the Giants?
They said, hey, the Giants won again tonight. Yeah. Hey, even the 2003 Milwaukee Brewers, as bad as they were, had a 10-game winning streak. So, yeah.
The Giants have won 12 of their last 14, bro.
Yeah.
The Giants changed up their batting order.
Yeah.
The Giants have good pitching.
You stay on that Giants train.
I put $10 on that Giants train. I win $2,000 if they win the NL.
That's fine. Stay on the Giants
train. They're only three back.
Great. Yeah. You know what? There's... you have this attachment for teams like who are like in last place or toward the bottom who... I know. I think last year you thought maybe Cincinnati was in the race,
and they were Cincinnati's in the race right now.
Well, no, this is what I'm talking about last
year. They're 4.5 back.
Last year, I'm saying. Last year, no. I mean, even talking about the Giants being contenders. Give me another 3 weeks on that.
Outside of the bet I placed down on the Giants, it's a point I'm making. I mean, the Brewers are a half game out of the wild card. And we're talking about buying and selling, but more often than not buying, your GM came out yesterday and said, hey, look, we want to be in a position to buy. You're still in it. The Giants are 2.5 back of the Brewers, and everyone thinks that they're just going to give away Bumgarner and Will Smith.
Yeah.
But the margin between those two teams is very slim. So I used them as an example over the weekend, and then they keep winning.
But the talent level is a little bit different. I mean, the Brewers are better. Brewers have should be contenders. The Brewers are underperforming. The Giants are overperforming. And baseball's got a way of equaling those things out. And the Giants are probably still in trade mode. Now, you know, as far as the sellers and buyers thing, so I get to the game yesterday. I'm doing on-deck show, pregame show. So I went through the Brewer Clubhouse and I got the dugout and, you know, very few people there at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, except Jim Gantner. Who tunes in? You know, Jim Cantner, a former Brewer, whose jersey may be retired someday. He goes, hey.
I played wiffle ball against Jim Cantner a couple summers ago.
That's right. We had that right around the All-Star break.
Yeah, in Pato.
At Pato, yes. So, walk in. It's, dog, how you doing? He goes, they ain't sellers. I go, what? He goes, yeah. What do you mean, sellers? Not sellers. You know, we're 2.5 out of first place. It's not going to be sellers after 2.5 games out. So now he and I were talking back and forth, but he was adamant saying, no way are the Brewers. And he, Gantner's, you know, he's kind of a part-time coach with the team. You know, he had the jersey on and he was, you know, getting ready to hit fungos.
Him and Gorman Thomas, they're just kind of like there sometimes.
Well,
Gantner more than Gorman.
Gorman's kind of an ambassador.
But he's there a lot.
He's there.
Gantner does suit up and like does some of the pregame stuff with these guys.
Yeah, Gorman never suits up.
I don't think they pay him. I think he's like Kramer in the episode of Seinfeld where he went to an office and just started working.
I don't know what his deal is.
They couldn't fire him because he wasn't working.
You know, Jim lives in Eden up in Fond du Lac County.
Yeah.
He just drives down. I think part of it is that you know, he has nothing else. He has nothing else really to do. His playing days are over. He owns part of a bar up there, and he, you know, he came. You know, he's not there every game, but he's there a lot of times. And he just said that, you know, heard you and I talking, and they said the Brewers are not sellers at this point. He just made his point to me that the Brewers are not sellers.
I still think there's the argument for it.
He hated my previous partner, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Oh.
What does he think of me?
Didn't say anything.
Because I haven't, like, met him one-on-one yet.
Didn't say anything.
And we've got the Fond du Lac connection. I used to love the Jim Gantner baseball cards because they would say my hometown on the back of these Topps cards.
Yeah, I mean, some of the cards would say Fond du Lac, but he's not really from Fond du Lac. He's from Eden. But he went to high school at Campbellsport, which is, what, 13, 14 miles south of Fond du Lac? Yeah. Yeah, it would say, but he's not from Fond du Lac. He's in Fond du Lac County, but technically Eden, which is outside of Campbellsport, but he went to Campbellsport High School, home of the Cougars, by the way, off Highway 167. But he didn't know. He didn't mention. I tell you, if he did, he didn't say anything. But he just made a blanket statement about, you know, you guys are talking about being sellers. Says not at this point. You know, then when we're talking about the 80s Brewers, about the 89 Brewers when he played at the team, and his team was a handful of games over the 500 mark at 89 when they were buyers and they went out and picked up an aging Jerry Rice, and it turned to be a nothing move for the team. But you know, that was all they could afford.
Brewers and Jerry Rice?
Jerry Royce. R-E-U-S-S.
And I always call him Jerry Roos.
Yeah, Jerry Rice.
Dad, I got a Jerry Roos card.
Yeah, he was like late 30s, but he looked like 56.
Yeah. He thought it was a manager card.
He did. He looked like an old man.
What thing?
He pitched like an old man too.
Which thing that I've been talking about a lot lately should I pump the brakes on? The San Francisco Giants?
Yeah.
Or my trading card collection?
Giants.
Giants?
Yes. Yeah, Giants.
So of the two little nuggets I throw out, the two little sports taffies, if you will.
The Giants thing is no interest to me. Your baseball
just
card collection.
Just a little taffy to chew on for you.
I'll say this, though. You gave me a whole box. People, I don't know if you put the video up on the internet the other last
I certainly
week.
Did. I gave you a box of all my Cubs commons.
Yes.
And I'm talking commons.
No, and it's not because I wanted to. Well, there were some good, you know, I looked through them.
What'd you
there
find?
There wasn't some. No,
I found an Eckersley still in there.
There was some, you know, Ron Says. You know, the Penguin was in there. You know, Dave Kingman, a few players were in there.
Your third cousin?
Yes, 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 who I used to see, once in a while in family get-togethers in Iowa during the All-Star break. This was back in the 70s.
Kingman's your third cousin?
Yes, yes, back in the 70s. Used to have little get-togethers on my dad's side of the family. The Fries, as they were, their last name. So he was part of that, but This was he played the Mets and he played a little bit of the Cubs. He played a lot of teams. So anyway, I was looking through the box and you gave me the box, and it was nice of you to give me the box, and I
for
gave it
your
to
son.
My 8-year-old son, who is a Cubs fan based on, you know, my ex's side of the family. So he loved them. We were sifting through them, and we were looking through them on Saturday after we got done golfing. So he made a little video, sent it to you. Very appreciative of it. As much as an 8-year-old can be appreciative of something.
Yeah, well, that's good. I try to bring joy into people's
it
lives.
It is. It is. Now
on
I gotta,
a daily basis.
Now I got to buy a bunch of those plastic sheets to put all those cards in for them. That's going to cost me about $100 with all those cards you gave.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. More on the Brewers. They get a big-time win yesterday. 13-1 the final over the Braves. We look forward to the series finale today. And the Brewers could make this a 500 homestand. That's Chuck. I'm Bart. Chuck and Winkler on the field. 13-1, the final last night. How about that? The Milwaukee Brewers come out there, silence the crowd. Man, I don't know if it was just watching it on TV, but that crowd seemed restless. Everybody was barking all night long last night. What was going on?
Yeah, not a big fan of Dog Night.
Oh, it was Bark in the Park.
30,000 people. And, of course, I think they charge extra if you have a dog in the ballpark, and they put them in right field. Yeah, and they were doing little dog things all night long on the scoreboard and all that.
Do they count the dogs in attendance?
No, that was the big question. 30,000 without the dogs. 30,000 human beings in attendance.
I almost think they should count the dogs in attendance. They're there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You have to talk about, you know, are they paying attention to the game? Probably as much as some of these other fans were probably last night.
Yeah.
Did you mention?
The Dogs don't have iPhones or Androids to be distracted by.
No. Yeah, when they scan the crowd on TV, look how many people are just on the scoreboard or on their phones.
Back in my day, you used to scan the TV and see people keeping book.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't see that as much anymore. That's a, you know, that's a topic for, I don't know, the All-Star break or whenever. I love, you know, I do love it. I mean, that the reason why I keep scoring a game, I mean, because I'm covering the game, but it keeps me in the game. It keeps me in, because baseball is so easy to wander off. But I keep scores, you know, during games. It's because it's just, man, you're watching the game, it is easy to drift off and not pay attention.
Yeah, when I go work these games, and I'll be there today, I usually do bring the laptop and work on other stuff because I like, you know, how people take pictures and they're like, office for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's picture them at the beach or whatever. It's or a workouting at the
sure.
game. So that's kind of, I make it my office. And then I do get distracted in my computer. And then if a play happens, I watch it. And I get so distracted. The first day that Eric Kratz was here last year, I was asking him things in the locker room about stuff that Manny Pena did because I didn't see that they had take him out of the game.
Oh, God, no.
And it was just embarrassing.
No, no. You were talking, but Kratzy probably handled it well.
I said that ninth inning, you know, to come in, to be on this team, to have a huge inning, and you're trying to give Corey Knebel these signs, and you guys don't know each other that well. Mm-hmm. What is that like for a catcher? He goes, well, you'd have to ask Manny Pena. He was the one in the game.
And you were too busy tweeting or something.
I said, and then I quickly go, well, what if it was you then, sir?
Change direction.
Blee, blee, blue.
Well, guys have done that, though. I've seen that happen before where a media member has asked a player about a certain play, and player has said, no, I wasn't involved in that play. And then the media member turned around and said, yeah, you were. And the player said, no, I wasn't. I mean, I would know I wasn't a part of that play. I've seen that done before. A few years ago, that happened with another radio guy here in town, not on our radio station. This guy is not around anymore, but he did, you know, followed up a question and was challenging the guy about a play and kept challenging him, and the guy kept on saying, no, I wasn't involved in that play. I wasn't even playing. I was out of the game by then.
Yeah, no, you feel stupid when you do it.
Yeah.
You really do. Brewers win last night 13-1, and so this is what we talked about. This is what's going to happen. They're going to win games, and you're going to be in buy mode, and then they're going to lose games, and then you're going to think sell mode again because they are straddling this line, and we'll talk to Ben Davis, former ball player, Radio.com, MLB insider, coming up in just a little bit about that very thing. And, yeah, they are, like, in it. They certainly are in it. The Brewers are in it. And I saw a great tweet last night that said, I mean, any of the last 3 years, if this is where the Brewers are, nobody would be talking sellers. And I think the difference is the goal has changed. The goal is not just to get in the playoffs and make us feel good. The goal is to win a World Series. And if this team is not capable of doing that, if they need more than one or two pieces to even be remotely in that conversation, then what's the point of giving away assets for the future to make a run where you're ultimately going to fail? And well, again, you don't know you're going to fail. You get into the playoffs, anything can happen. But I don't know if the Brewers are in as good of a spot right now in 2019 that they were in 2018.
GM David Stearns talked to a couple of media members, writers, off camera and off mic yesterday, off a beaten path. They caught up with him yesterday, and in the Journal Sentinel this morning, they're talking about that. And Stearns was saying that they're at this evaluation point at this point. They're still evaluating the team, but they're open to adding if they stay in the race. He says, you know, basically, if we're, you know, I look at a team that's winning, that's when you are buyers. You know, if a team's got a legitimate shot to win, you are buyers. But he says, we're trying to figure that out at this point.
Yeah, if the Brewers were on like a 12-14 win streak, they'd absolutely be buyers.
Yeah.
You know, like the Giants are.
But like,
but
well, I tell you, like I said, Gantner told me yesterday when I there, he was adamant. No way, where are they sellers? He said, he says ridiculous. No, they're not thinking sellers. They're thinking about being in this race. And I said, even for the wild card, he said, yep, race, pennant race all the way. And that, you know, that's what Jimmy was saying, who's been involved in, you know, more than one of those pennant races. Not a whole lot of them, but a few of them in his day.
Again, we'll talk to Ben Davis coming up here, former ball player, also the color analyst for the Phillies at this point, so knows quite a bit about the Braves. It will be Chase Anderson, Dallas Keuchel today, so they'll probably lose today.
Well, look at this. Now, here's...
And then we'll be sell mode again.
Well, you know, when you're talking about going out and getting yourself an ace, you got the rubber game of the series, and you got, on this side of the ledger, Dallas Keuchel pitching, and we got Chase Anderson.
One other thing from last night's game, when do we start thinking that Jay Jackson might give us quality innings on a consistent basis?
When he could pitch an inning by pitching less than 30 pitches. Had a good bat last night in the eighth inning.
I mean, he had 27 pitches across two innings.
Oh, yeah. You know what? There's been times, though, he looks pretty good.
Jay Jackson dropped his ERA by 3 yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
It's down to a healthy 7-1-1.
Yeah. He's Mr. Right Now. He's out there right now. Yeah, you know, I remember last year, his first performance with the team. It was like, man, he's a good guy, too. Seems like a good guy. Nice guy. Was out there, and he pitched well. And then, you know, like a couple of outings later, he got shelled, and he was outrighted.
No, that wasn't last year. That was earlier this year.
No, there was a time. That was last year. He was on last year's team.
No, he didn't pitch last year.
I swore he was on this team last year.
You could be thinking of any number of people.
Oh, I swear, Jay Jackson was on this team and DFA'd last year.
I'm looking at his game log right now. He didn't pitch. Yeah, let's look it up.
I'm going to look it up. I would bet my life, again, that he was with the team.
You would bet your life? Slow down.
That he was with. I swore he was on the team last year.
Jay Jackson. I think you're thinking of Jeremy Jeffress.
No, I'm not thinking of Jeremy
Jeffress. JJs. That was Jeremy Jeffress, Chuck.
No, it wasn't Jeremy Jeffress. I know Jeremy Jeffress. Saw him last night in the locker room and said hello to him. Huh. Yeah, I thought he was on this team for a little bit last year.
Nope, you're wrong, so you bet your life. God, so now what?
I'm dead.
So how are we gonna go about this?
So when was he up earlier this year?
Jay Jackson signed a minor league deal with the Brewers in February, went to spring training, pitched in that Rockies series, and then was sent down. Huh. Jay Jackson.
Okay. Okay. Man, I stand corrected on that.
No, your life's over.
Yeah.
Horvat, move over a chair.
Who am I thinking that was on this team last year? Who came in and had a nice performance or two, and then got shelled, and then was back down and was outrighted, and definitely
I don't know, and it doesn't matter because you're dead.
No, you got to.
You bet your life, you're dead.
Yeah, man. When I bet my life, usually I feel pretty good about it.
Well, now you're dead.
Now I'm done.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Should we spare Chuck's life? He'll be a part of Ask Us Anything. We're going to do it a couple times today. First time around 7:45. Tweet us your questions at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW, and you'll be entered to win a 4-pack of State Fair tickets. So any question you have for us, sports or otherwise, let us know. We'll do that around 7:45 for our first time.
I'm not thinking of Zagurski.
The big Z?
I'm looking at guys who were pitching on the team last year.
Well, we'll try to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. You can do this update, and then we have to kill you.
We can find a way to do that if you want. You know, some people kill me on Twitter every day.
Yeah, well,
that's almost bad enough.
Throw yourself in that crowd. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
On The Fan.
No, that's Jack Johnson. We're thinking of Jay Jackson. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. So we're trying to figure out who was the reliever that Chuck thought was Jay Jackson last year.
Maybe it was a Joe Jackson concert I went to at Summerfest.
Could have been that, too.
Yeah. No. Okay. Was it? Could I be confusing Jay Jackson with Mike Zagurski?
I'm going to say no.
J.J. Hoover. These are guys who are coming out of the bullpen.
J.J., yeah.
Alec Asher?
Possibly.
The infamous Boone Logan?
Eric Kratz pitched a bunch last year. Are you thinking of him?
Kratz, he got in there a little bit. No, how about Jorge Lopez?
I don't know, man. Yeah. I think you were just thinking of this year.
Yeah, it must be. God, the two seasons aren't running together already, are they?
Or my theory that you have bad short-term memory.
No, I have great
short-term. Rearing its ugly head.
I do have great short-term memory because I remember a lot short-term.
And long-term. Maybe medium-term is where you're struggling.
A guy came up to me who's a big fan of the show. Lives out in New Berlin.
Oh, you found the guy.
Yes, in one of our favorite places. He was telling me stuff about you and I. Well, you and I say, I mean, he was going back and saying, oh, you know, he knew stuff about you and I, about stuff that we had talked about, and that you and I had ran into each other at this fast food restaurant, Taco Bell, on Highway 100. You know, he said, you know, and he said, I heard you guys talk about it last week, that you ran into each other, and I look over, and here you are again. Watch, yeah. Said, yeah, without him this time. He just stopped in. He's usually a drive-through guy. You, I said. You usually go through the drive-through. And I said, I come in here and I get some, you know, read once.
Hey, you go to Taco Bell to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's just spread things out there. Use the internet because, like in here, after the show, it's too crowded. Too many, too small space. Too many people in a small space. So there's nowhere to go. So I go over there. But he was telling me stuff. He had tell me stuff that you and I had said that I had long forgotten. I said, man, I didn't even know. I don't remember us doing that.
So a diehard fan of the show.
Yes, yes, yes. Love the show.
Does he have any friends?
Yes, he said a lot of his friends listen to the show.
Okay, do they have friends?
Said he had, although he said this week he was not listening as much because he had the week off of his job. He was taking vacation. He was doing a staycation, and he was sleeping in.
Oh, okay.
So I catch you guys a little bit later on, but usually... He said, I'm right there in the morning at 6 a.m.
Well, that's why we're on demand, folks. Radio.com is where you can find us. You can also find us on iTunes. Our podcasts are out there. They're all brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. It is the fan on demand section that you can find. Again, radio.com. Talking some of the Brewers this morning before we start to depress ourselves with the Green Bay Packers, and we'll explain why in about 15 minutes. But the Brewers do get a win last night, 13-1, so that's good. It's going to, at least for a day, quell the notion that maybe this team should be sellers. And we bring in one of our Radio.com MLB insiders, Ben Davis, former catcher in the big leagues, now color analyst with the Phillies. And Ben, that's what it kind of seems like, that the Brewers, you could argue for selling. You could argue for buying. There's a lot of teams in the same position, and the Brewers just seem to be right in the middle and right in the thick of all of that stuff.
Yeah, they definitely are. You look at it, there's so many teams out there that are we going to be buyers? Are we going to be sellers? What are we going to do? And I think that's really what, you know, that playing for that second wild card spot really brings up, because it's, you know, I think a lot of GMs are under the gun, especially the fact that, you know, July 31st is it. That's it. You can't make any deals after that. So it definitely puts a lot more pressure on these GMs to do what they need to do. And, you know, the Brewers are in a tough spot. Same way here in Philadelphia. Like, are we going to be buyers? Are we going to be sellers? You just don't know. It's still early on yet, but, you know, that deadline's coming sooner than we think.
It's been a struggle for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Should this team be better than this, you think?
Well, I think ultimately it always comes down to pitching. Should they be better? Well, they definitely have the lineup. Are they underperforming? I don't know if you can really say that. I think that the National League Central is best division in baseball. I mean, look at all these teams. These guys are battling it out. It's a deep division. It really is a deep division. And it's so hard to run away with the division because you have the Cubs up there at the top. And then, you know, you play each other so many times, you beat up on each other. That's why the record is where it is. I wouldn't say they're underperforming. I think it's just a byproduct of how good the division is.
Radio.com Sports MLB insider Ben Davis also does work, the color analyst for the Phillies, so you're very familiar with a lot of these teams and definitely these races. You've got teams like the Phillies and the Nationals, and they're kind of, you know, they're in it, and you've got teams like the Brewers and the Cubs, and they're in it, and I think for any one of these teams, those teams out west too, I think if you're going to make moves,
Are you playing to just get into the wild card, and are you ultimately playing to just get eaten up by maybe the Braves or the Dodgers? So I think you do got to look at that, too. These teams, this kind of grouping of teams, of all the teams I mentioned, are the Dodgers, do you think, that far ahead of everybody else, or can you make a run, just get in the playoffs, do what you can do, get in the playoffs, and it could be anybody's game? Because the Dodgers, I mean, they're looking to go to the World Series for their third straight year. I think the gap is pretty wide between them and everybody else.
Yeah, you want to tell yourself that just get into the playoffs because anything can happen. That's what's so great about the game of baseball, in my opinion. You know, you can run up against a pitcher who just has it. You can run up against a lineup that's just clicking on all cylinders. But you look at two teams like the Braves and the Dodgers, and you're thinking, I don't know. This Dodgers team, they are unbelievable. They're so deep. We were out in L.A. earlier this year, and I was talking with Oral Hershiser, who does the color for the Dodgers. And he said, Ben, I'm not going to lie to you. He goes, we could probably have two teams in the National League West. And he goes, not only could we have two teams, we could compete as having two different teams. That's how deep this lineup is. Their starting pitching is off the charts. I mean, they can just flat out beat you in so many ways. Their starting pitching is so good. That lineup is so deep. They grind out at bats. I mean, these guys were taking the bats last night, and they never taken a bat off. They hustle. They hit and run. They get bunts down. They do everything. They steal bases. They do everything that you can possibly do. I know they're a very high analytic team. They still play the game the right way like it was played years ago. Then you look at the Braves. I mean, this Braves team is, again, really deep. That lineup, you got Ozzie Albies hitting eighth. I mean, this is another deep lineup. They pitch it good enough where I think they can stay in ball games, but that lineup is so deep. So I understand your question. Do we really just want to get into the playoffs? Do we want to sell parts of our farm system that can be parts of our future just to get into the playoffs where ultimately we know we're going to meet our demise when we play the Dodgers or the Braves because these teams are so good? That's a tough question. But if you get the flip side, it is baseball. It's not like it's football. If you're bigger, stronger, faster, most of the times you're going to win. In baseball, you just never know what could happen. As long as you get in, there's a chance you could do some damage.
Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Ben Davis joining us, also color commentator for the Phillies. And the way that I look at, maybe it's the same with Philadelphia right now, but with the Brewers, you've got the teams we just talked about, the Dodgers and the Braves. You say all those things they're good at, and it seems like it's a hard sport, but it seems that like success comes easy for them. And with the Brewers, every game is a grind. Every game comes down to needing the bullpen, and your pitchers are coming out after five innings. When you look at the Brewers, a team that tends to not let their pitchers go through the third time in the order and really tries to rely on the bullpen, does it seem hard because maybe that's a bad strategy, or does it seem hard for the Brewers because maybe their talent's just not there?
Outside of the 13-1 victory last night, of course.
Yeah, you know, I think that the Phillies are going through the same type of thing right now. It's just like five and dive. That's what you're getting out of your pitchers right now. And to put so much pressure on that bullpen, you have so many guys, and that's why you're seeing a lot of these ERAs. It's not just the Phillies. It's not just the Brewers. You're seeing a lot of ERAs in bullpens that are through the roof, so much higher than they've been in years past because these guys are kind of getting exposed. They're pitching so many innings. And, you know, you keep running these guys out there, that's what's going to happen. They're going to get tired. They're going to start to elevate the baseball, and they're going to get hit. You know, I can understand why it's frustrating that way from the Brewers' standpoint because everything is a grind. It's you're going to get five runs, and then you know can the offense really sustain a W and get these guys out of a hole? It's not fun to watch from that aspect every day because you're thinking, oh, here we go again. Can't we just have an easy one? Can we please just have an easy game? And that's why you look at teams like the Dodgers or the Braves, where these guys are kind of just walking through games, and you know, they're kind of sleepwalking at times through games because that starting pitching enables them to get so much deeper in the ball games where you don't have to use so many guys coming out of the bullpen. It just makes that much easier for you to win on a nightly basis.
If the Brewers become sellers, they would have two guys I think teams would be interested, Yasmani Grandal, Mike Moustakas, one-year contracts, rental players. What kind of trade bait could they get? What kind of haul could they get for either one of those guys? What do you think?
Well, it depends on what teams are looking for. Obviously, you're talking about two legit bats that can be in the middle of the lineup. I thought the Phillies were going to go out and get Moustakas last year because they needed that left-handed at bat. Can they get You know, they could probably get maybe some minor league prospects. I wouldn't say the haul would be substantial. I think they could get maybe a couple different pieces. I wouldn't say the haul is substantial because they are both free agents. It's not like they're going to be locked up from the ball club. So it's basically a couple month rental that you're going to get, unless you can, you know, really talk a guy into staying and signing a multi-year deal. But I don't think the haul would be that substantial because it's only going to be for a couple months. But if a team really needs a left-handed bat, well, you know, they definitely have one in Moustakas. They have a switch hitter in Grandel who does an adequate job behind the plate. You know, they might be able to get something because catching is huge and there's not many good ones out there. But I think Moustakas would probably get you, garnish a little bit more of a return for you because of his ability to play multiple positions and the fact that he's a good left-handed hitter. He can hit lefties as well.
Ben, how do you, I mean, this is different now because, as you mentioned, the one deadline. Do you see, we've seen some moves happen already, like Cashner and Encarnacion a couple weeks ago. Do you see that kind of being, like, next couple of weeks, there'll be a move a day, a move a day? Or do you really see a flurry, maybe the 30th and the 31st, especially with how many teams are going to decide in the next 2 weeks if they're in it or if they're not?
I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's going to be a ton of moves. For the simple fact that there's not a ton of guys out there that really are trade bait. I know the Brewers have those guys. You look at the Phillies, like, are they going to be buyers or sellers? It's not like we have a ton of pieces. I think if you see anybody make moves, it's going to be someone like the Padres that have a tremendously deep minor league organization. These guys definitely have pieces that they can move to, you know, to get somebody back in return. Diamondbacks, they do have a piece like it is Zach Greinke. You know, they could dump all that salary if a team is willing to go out and take a starting pitcher down. He's a guy that they would have control for a couple more years. I don't think there's going to be a ton of activity because I think the discrepancy between those teams at the top, and I'm saying the Astros, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Braves, these teams are so much better than the rest of the teams. I think there's just such a disparity between those really good teams and the teams that just are kind of, you know, we might make it in the playoffs. I think you kind of realize, you look down the line and say, well, you know what? There's just no way we can get through that Yankees lineup. There's no way we can get through that pitching that the Astros have. So I think the teams are most likely going to just sit on their hands, stay put, and not really kind of demolish that minor league system. If they have some good key prospects at the minor league level, then we might say, you know what, we might want to take that chance. We're just going to sit back and not replenish our minor league system.
Ben Davis joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ben, we appreciate it. Great Midwest Bank, if you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing some simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. And when we talk about the talent gap between the teams, I do get the argument that, yes, you get into the dance and anything can happen. But I still think at this point, Chuck, the talent gap between, like, the Dodgers and the Yankees is so strong. And last year we ended up seeing the two teams that were the strongest, the Dodgers and then it was the Red Sox, get to the World Series. And I fear, like, if the Brewers are going to go all in or whatever version of that they can come up with, it's going to kind of be the same thing that we saw a year ago.
Yeah, although we've seen, you know, upsets before in the postseason, you know, where teams were supposed to, went into the postseason, best record in baseball, on fire. This was supposed to be the team. I mean, the Braves had so many teams like that over the years in the 90s and the 2000s, and they couldn't even get to a World Series at times. So I think the baseball tournament, unlike any other tournament, is one that can be a wide open field, whether you just sneak in the postseason or you have the best record in Major League Baseball. So, yeah, I mean, like the Brewers and Dodgers last year, the Brewers were a slight favorite going into that series and ended up going the seventh. That series could have gone either way. I don't think that if the Brewers get into the postseason, they have to take the backseat to anybody. Now, what may come back to bite them if they don't have enough strong pitching in that could be the story.
And the pitchers that are available, like, it's not just the Brewers and the Diamondbacks and the Phillies and the Nationals. It's not just these teams that are trying to figure out if they're buyers that are going to end up being buyers. It's the teams that are already good that are also going to look to get better. The Braves farm system is loaded. I mean, they could end up with a Trevor Bauer. Mm-hmm. The Yankees, they're motivated to
to add pieces. They could end up with Marcus Stroman. So these names that are out there, and it's not top heavy, there's not a lot of sexy names out there like there might have been in years past, but those top guys could go to the top teams, and then the Brewers fall even further back.
But if they add those guys, well, you know, we assume too that those guys are going to continue and have their careers be pretty strong in that city. You know, there's been times the guys teams have made a move and they got the guy and they brought him in and he has just been terrible, Jonathan Schoop.
50 days away from the start of the NFL season, 50 days away from the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. A new chapter in the history of the Green Bay Packers, but have we fully closed the book on what's been hanging over this team for the last few seasons? One particular game that I'm not sure we've been able to get over. We'll have details on that coming up next. Plus, ask us anything. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Your question gets you eligible to win State Fair tickets. We'll do that around 7:45. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.